Relax.
Yeah.
So, talking about Romans 10 this week, and Paul is the writer of Romans, and the Roman church is filled with Romans and Gentiles, and it makes up these people that are Jewish by birth, and they know the law really, really well, because they were God's chosen people. And then you have the Gentiles, which would be those people outside of the Israelite race, this Jewish people, this chosen nation of God. And God opened up this faith thing to everybody, which is good news for you today, for all my non-Jewish brothers and sisters. Right? It's really great news. So last week we talked about Romans, and we talked about Paul, and we talked about his incredible desire that he would actually give up his own faith if there was any way that he could give up his salvation so that his Jewish brothers and sisters would know the goodness of Jesus. He would do so, right? He kind of follows that story now, and he continues on, and I'm going to read it through the New Living Translation. And if you have a Bible, I know you guys are shifting gears. We're just kind of shifting gears right now. But if you guys have a Bible, I'd love for you to be reading along with me. It's going to be on the screen, but there's Bibles outside if you need them. We'd love to give you a Bible, and we'd love you to be reading a part of this, not just on Sundays, but every day, all right? So it says this. I'm going to see if I can read this super small font with my young man eyes. Says this, Paul says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God." Some of us have come this morning trying so desperately to make ourselves right with God. Some of us have come this morning trying so desperately to do everything but what God has asked us to do. And so we come in and we say, why is life so hard? Why is my life not getting anywhere? Why am I not hearing from God? Why is life this way? And Paul's saying, look, you just need to trust in what God has done and what God has said and how God has called you to be. And for some of us, we've come wrestling with that scenario. We've come wrestling with that concept. We can't figure it out. And all it takes is for us to just submit to who God has called us to be and how God has called us to be. Not how we desire to do life, not how we have done life up until this point without God, but how he calls us to do and be in life. He goes on and he talks about this, you know, who, for Moses, he talks about this passage in Deuteronomy. He goes on and says, "For Moses writes the law, the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way, what Jesus died for, this faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back?" And the point that Moses is emphasizing is that the law has been given to Israel in the context of grace. And that Canaan, this land that these Israelites were supposed to go take, God busted these Israelites out of their slavery to Egypt, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this beautiful place where you can go and be how I've asked you to be, how I've called you to be. I'm calling you out of slavery into freedom. So this land, Canaan, context of grace, and that Canaan, which people are about to enter, is God's gift to them. It is in no sense whatever the product of their own righteousness or strenuous effort. Do you understand what that means? Your trying isn't good enough. your working hard to try to please Jesus by showing up on a Sunday isn't good enough. Does that make sense? That might hurt some of you because you thought you were doing a really good thing today, right? You're dropping money in the bags that just came around, or did they come around yet? Bring them around, yeah, come on. This is kind of a weird free thing going on right now. The money that you're about to drop in the bags, and I'm trusting that you guys will give as God has laid it on your heart, and I'm trusting that you guys are given everything that God has given you back to him and for his purposes. But because you drop money in the bag doesn't mean that you're appeasing God. Does that make sense? It's not buying you anything. It's not buying you favor. It's not giving you anything. Why? Because Jesus has already given it to you. It's already been done. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and endless love. I'm made alive forever because of what Jesus has done. These songs that we've been singing, it is finished. There's no sacrifice to offer. There's no penance to complete. Freely drink of living water without money. Come and feast. There's no deed that can redeem us. There's no right nor magic word. Only by the work of Jesus can salvation be secured. It's only through Jesus. And so some of us struggle with this tension. We fight ourselves because it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. And the truth is you're right. It wasn't that easy because someone was slaughtered for you. Someone died on our behalf. Someone came and made us right with God. And it was God himself that did that. So this tension that we face, this way of trying to buy our salvation, this way of trying to appease God, what you need to do right now, church, daughters and sons, you need to just be. Can you be? Can you be in God's presence? Can you be what God has asked you to be? Can you be how God has asked you to be? Paul goes on to say, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips, and it is in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you catch that? Do I need to read it again? I'll do it. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I used to think this meant like you say magic words, you declare, you just speak this thing and it's so much more than that. It's this life that follows this declaration. This declaration is a life that follows Jesus. This declaration that you declare is a discipleship promise, is a discipleship commitment to say, I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And where he goes is to eat with prostitutes. Where he goes is to the prisons. Where he goes is to the homeless. Where he goes is to the single moms who can't figure out how to do life because they've been given a raw deal. Where he goes is to the scum of the earth. How do I know this? Because I'm one of them. He came and he found me. I understood what he meant by this salvation, by this declaration, by this life that he was offering. And I had to give up some stuff. I had to give up some stuff that I felt like I was offering to God that wasn't the it. This way of life that I felt was this way that God was pleased with. And he said, you know what, Adam, that's garbage. What you need to do is trust in what I've done for you and how I've done it and believe in that and follow what I've done and do what I do. And I said, God, that's in some respects it's really hard, and in some respects it's too simple. It can't be that easy. And then other days I'm like, oh, this is so hard. Yeah. But that's the message today. That's it. And I apologize to the children's people that are planning to take the kids and go and be a part with the kids. Because you planned a message, you planned on being there, you planned on serving. And I'm ruining that. I'm throwing a wrench in that, and I get it, all right? But that's the message that you guys all need to hear today. That's the message that you need to all respond to today. Can you just be comfortable? Can you be okay with who God says you are? And how God says the relationship between you and Him is supposed to work? Can you be okay walking in that? And you're going to fail in that? I get it. I do it every day. You're going to succeed in that? I get it. I do it every day. But can we submit ourselves to our Creator who gave everything for us? Say He loves us. Later on, you're going to see some baptisms happen. And it's beautiful because something is happening within our kids, the Whitewater youth. We have baptized more youth this year than we have any of you adults. They're getting it. And when they come and they say, I need to be baptized, and I say, tell me about that, they just said, I just love Jesus. No, that's not it. They have this in-depth, theologically sound reason as to why they need Jesus. Something's happening in their world, and I celebrate that 100%. And I question, okay, adults, where are you at? You either all know Jesus, and if that's the case, Whitewater is doing something wrong by only attracting those that know Jesus. And that scares the hell out of me as a pastor. Or there's some of you dragging your feet. You've come here Sunday after Sunday, and you still decide to not commit to Jesus, to live submissively, to be how He's called you to be. And it's not because you're going to come and on a Sunday you're going to get some magic piece of information, then you're going to say, oh, that makes so much more sense now. I think a lot of it is stubbornness on our parts. I'm going to live the way I want to live. And what I pray for you is, I prayed this prayer this week, I don't want it to come to a place where you just get destroyed and your life is miserable because God just breaks you and pulls the rug out from underneath you. I don't want you on that moment. I don't want you on that just bawling on your living room carpet because you can't handle life anymore. What I'd love you to do is say yes to Jesus, even if you can handle life at this moment. Because your life is made for so much more than what you came in with today. That's people that love Jesus. That's people that don't love Jesus. So Chantel's going to come. She's going to talk about communion. And then we're going to just worship through communion. And I want you to think about this question. Can you just be how God is asking you to be? It's a yes or a no. It really is. And if that decision is yes, I celebrate with you. And then at some point, man, I'd love to see you getting dunked in that horse tank. It's not glamorous. We let horses drink out of that, all right? But I'd love to see you make that commitment and say yes to Jesus and just give everything you have to Jesus and then make this public confession of baptism that says, you know what, I'm all in, 100%.